Hello and welcome to GamerCast episode 186. I am your host, Paul, and joining me this week, as always, is Catherine.
What the hell was that?
And Adam.
Hiya.
Okay, right.
I didn't even get to say my name.
Well, I said, didn't we?
Okay.
Remember, okay. We agreed that I say the names.
Oh.
Because that way Adam doesn't get confused.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have no visual cues.
Otherwise Adam just says me.
Yeah, because
it's a bit silent as well.
Yeah, anyway, moving on, because we've got a lot to do this week.
Now for the news.
The new Fallout game. This is called New Vegas.
Yes.
This is a fun game, I take it.
They announced, they released a teaser the other day.
That sounds fun.
Have you actually watched it yet? You haven't, have you?
No.
I'll show you it later. It pretty much has the same structure and setup as the Fallout 3 teaser when it was released. So it's got the same kind of pan out, followed by Ron Perlman saying war never changes like it did beforehand. So they're trying to keep with the same kind of theme, except there was no ink spots playing. It was Frank Sinatra, which I thought was a bit weird because they've always had ink spots.
Is this a full new... This is a sequel, not an expansion.
I believe it's a sequel.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, it's not an expansion, perhaps.
Well, no, they've already
it?
Done the expansions.
Yeah, that's
this
what I thought.
This is the original developer's Fallout game.
Okay, yeah. It's Obsidian, who made Neverwinter Nights 2, and... What else did they make? They made another game.
Fallout.
No, they didn't. Some of the people who work at Obsidian are from Black Isle.
Same people.
But the main designers and creative directors aren't from there.
Same people.
So it's not going to be the same as Fallout.
Well, I thought we were the same as the original ones, because obviously like 20 years old.
But I was just saying that there are original devs there, but not all of them. But yeah. So that's been released. You can check it on the internet by just searching for Fallout New Vegas, because it's the only actual teaser / trailer that's been released so far. It looks kind of cool. I reckon everyone watches it.
Sims is 10 years old as well.
Wow.
Yeah, it happened on Thursday.
Guess.
Can I have... You're taking up the whole screen. If I want to read
screen
notes,
hugger,
I should just bring my netbook in here, shouldn't I?
No, because then you'd be fiddling with that.
Yeah. Okay, so Sims turned 10 on Thursday, back on the 4th of February.
Is this the game where I played it and I thought it was really buggy?
What?
Yeah, this is the Sims. This is that game where my people would get stuck on the couch. And
they just get stuck anyway, because they're not clever people. Okay, so... As I work at EA, there was a huge Sims kind of birthday-ness anniversary stuff going on. So we got free stuff, which I will hopefully give some away of next week on a less full show. We've got badges and stuff. I've got a few little facts about Sims, which I got from work. If that's cool, if I can just say a couple of them.
Wait, I know. There were free Sims games.
Wow, that's not actually on my list.
There's The Sims, The Sims 2, and... The Sims 3.
What about all the expansion packs?
And then there's the rubbish console versions, which are rubbish.
What about the expansion packs?
The expansion packs don't count.
Okay. So, The Sims was the best PC...
Dude, if we had to count the expansion packs...
I know.
We would need 1 times 10 to the power of 15 just to get through, half of them.
Okay, so the original Sims was best-selling PC game worldwide in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003. In 2004, it wasn't, but The Sims 2 was... and then Sims 2 was the second best-selling PC game in 2005. What major PC game came out in 2005 that knocked it down?
Nothing. People started buying shitty laptops which couldn't play games anymore.
That makes sense. And then in June last year, Sims 3 came out, and it sold 1.4 million units in its first week. So it had the biggest PC launch in EA history. I'm not sure about full-on PC history.
Dude, the biggest launch ever was Wolf 3D,
and it was the
all six of us were lined up at the post boxes waiting for our mail to come from id Software with the floppy disks.
And then of course The Sims 3 was also the best selling PC game of 2009. Skip that one. The Sims franchise in total has generated more than $2.5 billion of revenue, which I'm not sure on these facts on how, because they can really relate to each other, but it's on
they
the same
don't relate
class
to each other at
as
all.
Things like Avatar, Titanic, and The Matrix, but the thing is they're kind of different forms of media.
Yeah, they make all their money in the first 2 weeks of launch.
But,
not
whereas
over 10 years.
Games, trickle over the years. What else have I got? Oh, that one's a bit boring. It's been translated into 22 languages, actually more than 22 languages. So you can get it in over 60 countries worldwide as well, which is a bit weird. But they do it in so many. Of course, it's popular. I wouldn't think it's that popular, but actually, no, I would think it is that popular. Anyway, sorry, I'm babbling a bit.
Yes, you are.
I'll skip that one. I thought that was weird. Over the years, the most popular downloaded content is hair, with over 670,000 downloads to date. Most popular style is female, long and wavy. 670,000 downloads of hair. That's crazy. Jeez. And then in France, they like The Sims so much, they did an official French postage stamp of The Sims.
Wow.
Which I thought was really cool, and I've looked on eBay and I can't find them.
Maybe they don't exist. Moving along, the Aliens vs. Predator demo. I'm sorry, did you want to talk?
No, but you were saying you were mean and said they probably don't exist, but they do.
Why would the French Postal Service advertise a
game? I don't know, but they did apparently.
Says who?
Says EA.
Says a person in EA.
No.
Who may or may not know. Anyway, Alien vs. Predator demo was released on PSN, Xbox Live Marketplace, and PC.
Yep.
It's available on Steam. I'm not sure if it's available anywhere else.
It might be on like Direct to Drive or something like that, I know. The things that people don't use as much as
it might be on other content distribution services that nobody uses.
How about the Windows gamey one?
Nobody even knows it exists.
Does it have demos on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it has Tinker to get free Gamerscore.
I know it's got Tinker. I should play that and get Gamerscore.
Play it as me and get Gamerscore.
It's me and get games.
No, you don't do that. Anyway, this is a multiplayer only demo. It's only got one map, but you can play as a free species in it. Quick review. It's pretty good.
Do you not want to? You can mention a couple of things later on.
Nah, we don't want to waste time on this.
Shall I give my quick review?
Yeah, go on, Adam.
It doesn't work on the PlayStation.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's really buggy. It wasn't working properly. You couldn't find any other games.
Yeah,
it was the same on the PC, but the PC version was fixed within a few hours.
Yeah, this one, I've gone on several times and I just sit there and sit there and sit there and I never get thrown into another game with anyone else, so I haven't actually played it yet.
I was going to say, so then you haven't played it, that's a bit crap.
Yeah, I need to actually go download it on my Xbox and try it on there.
Well, yeah, really briefly, it captures the original feel of the original PC games quite well, in that, you know, if you just tone the graphics down, it does feel the same. The only difference, I think, is I can't remember if in the original...
You said aliens leaped more.
Yeah, well, there's a few different things. Firstly, I want to mention I don't think the Predators used to pick up weaponry. I think they used to at least start with... I don't know, I can't remember if they did or not. But in this, if you're a Marine or a Predator, you pick up your weapons now. A lot of people are moaning about that because obviously it's like Quake style, which they're used to Modern Warfare, where you just spawn with everything, which is lame.
The Predator always had everything. Can it be... If there wasn't something he didn't have, he didn't pick it up. It was kind of like, oh, you're on the next level, now you start with this item as well. You didn't get it halfway through.
Yeah, balance-wise, Predator seems to be the most powerful class. The Marine just gets pwned now. So I think they're going to work on that because, yeah, you just get pwned by everything.
Even when it's really laggy.
Yeah, aliens are a bit different. So they don't seem to be anywhere near as fast as they used to, but they do seem to have a smaller footprint, so they're harder to shoot because they're smaller in stature. I don't know if that's just the alien they have, because there's lots of different alien classes in the final game, like the Pred aliens, and then you've got the
Then
you've got the dog alien from Alien 3.
Oh yeah.
And all those other weird things.
Was there a bull one as well?
Because obviously an alien takes on like characteristics of its original host.
Can you be like the queen?
Probably not for multiplayer. But the queen will be in it for single player. Mm.
That's cool.
Yeah, so anyway, just check it out because it's quite good. The Heavy Rain demo has also been released on PSN.
It has not actually officially been released on PSN.
Oh, this
was going to be a quick thing, and then I'll mention it more later on as well. But... because the official demo doesn't come out till the 11th of Feb, but if you take part in the viral online campaign that they're doing, you can get access to the demo and a code that will allow you to download it. Apparently, it's only working in PAL territories, and I imagine you can still get it now. It might not be able to get codes from next week, I'd imagine. But it comes out.
Are you going to talk about what happened with the website later as well?
Or what do you mean?
You know the. The website that you like getting info from begins with a K.
Kotaku.
Yeah, did you see the post they released about this?
I saw that they said about it.
Yeah, basically they announced on their website a post showing about precinct52.com.
Yeah, that's what I just mentioned, because the viral ad campaign.
Yeah, the ARG thing. They put on there all of the pieces of evidence that you needed to collect. So you didn't actually have to play it, you just handed in the evidence and got the code.
I got when it off Lost Gamer, they mentioned it.
When that happened, everybody, especially in the States, who were logging on with UK logons, were going onto the website, and it actually crashed.
Yeah, so I couldn't actually do it until the night that I'd heard about it.
Yeah, it was down all Friday, because I was trying to get on it, and then Saturday morning it came back up again, so I managed to get on through and get my code.
But the same happened when they launched the official website. It buckled under the amount of people going on it.
They obviously need my epic 8-core, whatever it is, Opteron. No, it's Xeon now, isn't it? Yeah. They obviously need one of those jobbies.
But yeah, so if you...
What's up? Next thing's Adam's thing.
Okay. Well, I can't tell because you've covered it up.
I'm reading.
But yeah, so if you search on the net for it, you'll be able to find a link that'll tell you what to do. And it'll be on the Precinct 517 website.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Other in the news, Microsoft have announced that Xbox Live will be shutting down permanently on the 14th of April for Xbox One games forever.
No.
So that mean if you wanted to play...
Means if you've got an Xbox One.
What about if you want to play Xbox One title on
360? If you have downloaded a digital copy of a game that's multiplayer on Xbox 360, or you have an old copy of Halo 2 and you want to play it online, will not work from the 8th, from the 14th onwards.
That's stupid.
No, it's not. Shut the stupid crap down.
They're shutting it all down. They are doing something for people who are Xbox One owners and have subscriptions. They'll be closing them down to stop them constantly updating, so you won't automatically update your subscription if you're on an annually subscription with an Xbox One, so you won't get caught out there. So it'll cut you off and you have to reapply back in on an Xbox 360.
Are there really that many people still using Xboxes?
I doubt it.
It's
I imagine
5 years old. The Xbox 360 is 5 years old this year.
Yeah, my dad still has one. He plays on Halo with me now and again over a few beers now and again, but it's very rarely plugs his in. I know a few people maybe play a lot, some really good classic games that have not been remade that are Xbox One. But apart from that, I think it's worth moving on. You know, the server space can be used for more Xbox 360 games and move on. Xbox 360 has been out for a while now, so I think it's time they close that door. Yeah?
Yeah, I suppose I agree.
Meh, who cares?
So next up, Sega released Sonic 4.
Episode 1.
Yep, episode 1, because it may be episodic, it may not. They haven't actually announced whether it is or
not. I read an interview with the people that are doing it, and they said it's not episodic, but what they said made it sound like it is going to be. They said, like Sonic 3, the storyline continued into Sonic and Knuckles, it will do the same in this. The storyline of Sonic 4 will flop into the next Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay.
Which I think is pretty cool.
It's been announced to be released on Xbox Live, PSN, WiiWare, and will hopefully be coming out in 2010. It is 2010 in the summer of this year, and it's a 2D 3D title, so 2D side scrolling with rendered 3D models. And Sonic has been announced to be the only playable character in the game.
Which I think is cool, to knock it back to old school Sonic.
So wait, they're limiting your choice of character and you think it's cool. That's bad. I want to play as Knuckles and beat people up.
You don't like Knuckles.
Did you hear about the code name it was called?
Yeah, it was called Project Needle Mouse.
Yeah, which was what Sonic 1 was originally called. That was the project's secret name for Sonic the Hedgehog on the Mega Drive. Spiky Mouse, and they renamed it that, and that's why everyone got excited, because they were kind of curious why they were using the original secret name for Sonic the Hedgehog for this game. So they knew it was a Sonic title, but they weren't sure what they were going to do. I like the idea of it. I'm going to get it. It's going to be good. Classic Sonic.
I wonder if they'll charge $1,200 for it. I bet they will.
Oh, if they do, there's going to be hell to pay.
But yeah, so... Adam kind of mentioned it, but it is a direct sequel from Sonic 3.
Yeah.
And Sonic & Knuckles. So it takes place after where they Sonic end.
It takes after Sonic & Knuckles. And not... like... Not directly, but it's kind of that sort of time period of characters and what's happening.
I was going to say, not that they have much of a story.
No. But there was kind of like a bit of story kind of tied in with the fact that Knuckles in number 3 was the bad guy, but he didn't realize he was doing anything wrong when he was trying to take all the Chaos Emeralds. And then he ends up finding out that he was on the wrong side, and then he helps Sonic in Sonic and Knuckles. So I'm presuming that they're going to do some of the same. I don't know if it carries on straight on from Sonic and Knuckles. It's kind of got an image that it will do, but supposedly how the storyline goes through Sonic 4, there will be more games following afterwards that will carry on the storyline. So I think it's going to be good.
Mm. I don't particularly like the look of it from the little clip.
He doesn't run fast enough.
His hair is too long. Cut your hair, you scruffy hedgehog.
So next up. Is it one of my things? I can't see the show notes.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay, so as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, maybe, about LA Noire getting an exclusive section in Game Informer, that has actually happened and is in this month's Game Informer, which is not out yet. And there's rumours, I don't think it's been 100% confirmed yet, but it's no longer a PS3 exclusive and is now PC and 360. And that was one of the main reasons originally that me and Charlotte wanted a PS3. That's just gone. But, so that's a bit crazy.
Oh, well, you might as well do what Skip did the other day. Sell his PS3.
I'm not selling my PS3.
But it means it'll probably look better on the PS3 because it's probably been coded for the PS3.
PS3 is less powerful.
I imagine they might actually just be doing it at the same time, but they might just be doing it on a PC anyway.
Yeah.
And then having it ported over from the PC to the PS3 and 360. But apparently in Game Informer, they're having a 10-page feature looking at their reconstruction of, because it's set in 1947 LA, and they're looking over that and all about the game. Apparently it's got nice animation on their faces or something. I don't know. But yeah, so that's that, and hopefully there'll be some more information released soon. I'd love to pick up the Game Informer, but nowhere really gets those in, unless you find stores that import magazines. But yeah, so that's cool. I'm still looking forward to it. Is my thing the next thing as well? Because it's hard to...
Well, yeah, you can see there.
Well, yeah, but I'm not sure if there's an Adam thing just plonked in there. Are there any more?
Mine's not for a while.
Oh, BlazBlue. Okay, this was just a really short thing. Namco Bandai apparently have reported that they have had losses over the... Well, by the end of 2010. Wait, which fiscal year are we about to enter? 2010, is that? So we're just finishing 2009, yeah? In April?
In April, it'll be 2011.
April start, it'll be 2011.
I don't know. Well, it depends how they measure their fiscal year.
Okay. But they're planning to reduce their workforce and fire off about 600 odd people. Yeah. I don't know if it's just Namco Bandai or if it's any of the other offices that they own as well. Sorry, it's quite hot in here, isn't it? But yeah, so Namco are firing off people, which is always, you know, great. So yeah, that was just a short mention about that. Hopefully not too many people will be out of jobs. And they're hopefully
600 by the sound of it.
Well, yeah, but hopefully they'll go into another company soon after.
Not into my company. Hiring freeze.
Okay, No More Heroes, Heroes Paradise, which is... No More Heroes ported onto the 360 and PS3. Well, not really a port, because of course they're going to upscale it and everything. Originally had a release date of the 25th of February in Japan, and has now been put back to sometime in April. Although that's only for Japan, and there's been no details at all if it's coming out over here or in America. I'm imagining it won't be, because Ubisoft haven't stated anything about releasing it as well. So that's a shame, but you can always import it, I suppose. Because it'd be nice to see what they've done for the first one, to bring it over to the higher end consoles, because of course the first one's quite good and it might be nice as well. Briefly, Final Fantasy 13 is definitely having three discs for the 360 version, has been confirmed, and then of course one Blu-ray disc for the PS3. That's pretty short piece of news. Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, they've now confirmed that they put knights in it as well, from the Knights games, for anyone that's ever played them.
Aren't those the rubbish games?
Knights?
Yeah.
The one on the Wii is.
Yeah.
The one before it wasn't, on the Saturn. But the reason they've got knights in is there's some knights forums which are based in the UK, and they pleaded Sega and what are they called? Sumo Digital to put knights into the game, and they've responded to this by making knights the flagman. So at the start of each race, he'll flag everyone in, or whatever the term is. So I thought that was quite nice that they'd actually responded to fans on that.
That's cool.
Okay, so Star Trek Online comes out this week over here. It's been out for a little while now.
Didn't it come out last week?
It's not out over here yet.
Are you sure?
I cornered the game website.
We it's had not. It come in.
Really? It's supposed to be 12th. That's what I read on the net. It may be out, it may not. I've got it on the new releases list. But they've now announced that you can play as Klingons and Ferengi.
But you have to pay more money.
Yes. You have to pay in, what's it called, cryptic points, which are on the cryptic store, you pay for them. It's about $1.25. 100 points is $1.25. Ferengi will cost you about $1, I'd say. And the Klingon will cost you about $3. But then you've got the ability to be them as characters. Only weird thing is, of course, that they can't keep to is female Ferengis wear clothes. Because they can't not.
Depends when the game's set.
I don't know.
Because obviously Ferengi
at that certain point
had a fairly substantial change to that during the course of DS9.
Yes, that is true because I know that. Charlotte didn't know that. I told her about it earlier. So they put those two in.
What does it mean by a Federation Klingon playable species? Does that mean they're members of the Federation?
Yeah, you can have them as members of the Federation.
So they're not actual different factions. They're just...
No, you can still... Sorry, you can still only play as Federation, and they wear Starfleet uniforms. Not that there's many Ferengis in the Starfleet.
One.
I know, just one.
And that's one Klingon.
Yep. Well, you know, they're obviously outruling that and just making everyone... Because I'm sure there'll be loads of Klingons now,
if Klingons you have to pay $3. Klingons will love to sign up to Starfleet, won't they?
Yeah. Well, it depends on what the people think. But yeah, so there's that.
What's this about Scribblenauts?
Scribblenauts.
Oh, it's sold a million copies.
Yep, it sold a million copies worldwide, which is quite good if you ask me.
Hey, I sold some earlier on.
Yeah, because it's not what I'd think the most popular of games that would sell, because it's a word-based kind of puzzle game. But I think it's done quite well for selling a million copies. And hopefully then that will mean that, what are they called? Something 5. Not Level 5. I can't remember what they're called, the company.
It's something 5. I'm sure it is.
Fifth Cell. Fifth Cell.
Yeah.
Hopefully from getting quite good sales from the first one, they'll make either a sequel or they'll make something else similar as well, and probably keep up with their Drawn to Life games too. But there's that. Another quick, brief mention. Akira Yamaoka, who was the composer for the music in the Silent Hill games, has now left Konami and has joined Suda at Grasshopper Manufacture. Grasshopper is spelled wrong. It doesn't matter, though. So he's now going to...
Hey, it's not my show notes.
I know. I copied that from a website. And I spelled it wrong. Yeah, so now...
That happens when you copy things from Kotaku or wherever you nicked it from.
I don't know where I got it from. It doesn't have a link, does it? But, that means... There may no longer be his music in Silent Hill games, which is one of the best things about the Silent Hill games, if you ask me. So that's a bit crap, but that means he'll probably do a good job on No More Heroes and also whatever they're working on with EA at the moment. I have no idea, but I'm quite interested in finding out what it is in the future. So yeah, Now, Adam's got something to talk about. Gives me a break.
Yeah, before I've mentioned Blaze Blue a couple of times and that it's coming out, I keep getting unconfirmed reports of a release date. It keeps jumping back into March. It was supposedly have the same release date as Heavy Rain, which is the 26th of this month. But other websites have been coming up with the 19th of March. Yeah, both websites now, play.com and HMV, which is on the Blaze Blue website, which state that they will be selling it, have both got 19th March. But they also have the box art, because before, one website was showing the Japanese and American box art, and HMV didn't show anything at all. But the new box art for the UK version has been released for limited edition and non-limited edition, as well as what comes actually inside, which is pretty cool. Also, I can confirm that the UK version will be different than the US and Japanese version. We're actually getting more content and extra characters that were added in as a later date. Because of the unlockability of the game with PlayStation 3, if you did go and get an import copy, even if you live in the US, you could probably trade it in and get hold of a UK copy and import that to the States or Japan and be able to play the extra characters. So yeah, looking forward to that. It's annoying that the release date's gone back a bit further, but yeah, definitely one I'm looking forward to.
Cool. I saw the special edition on the HMV website the other day, actually. I had never heard of it before, though. But now that you mentioned it, I remembered it as well.
It does look a good game. Good classic 2D fighter. It's made by the same people that did Gatly Gear, or whatever it's pronounced.
Is it Guilty Gear? I've always called it Guilty Gear.
Yeah. It's the same people who did that. So it looks like they're not going to do any more of those games. And this is their new franchise that they're going to move on with.
Okay.
But it's similar mechanics. I must admit, the mechanics are quite intuitive with the fact that someone who doesn't play many beat-em-ups would actually be able to play the game at a basic level quite skillfully, because it's only got three attacks. And a fourth button is kind of like a super attack that each character does something different. And that is the basics, but then there's more fitted in with combos and other strategic things you can do, which is very difficult. So it's a very progressive game where you start with the basics and then work your way up. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Cool. A short announcement. THQ have said that they've now got in the works or planned Saints Row 3. A new Darksiders sequel of some sort, and a new De Blob game, which I thought was the most random of all, because I wouldn't have thought it would have sold that well on the Wii. But they're doing another one, so I thought that was quite weird. Team Fortress 2 has a new game mode that they've introduced, which is called Highlander, which, of course, there can be only one.
There can be only one.
For anyone that's ever seen the Highlander films. And so what they've done is they've, with this game mode, you have two teams of nine, and you can only have one player to represent a class on each team. So then that way, there's only one of each, so the whole Highlander thing, and it means people have to work together.
That's quite cool.
As a team.
Yeah, what are the maps like?
I don't know. They've just announced a new game mode. I thought that sounded quite good. It means not everyone's going to be, like, one class.
Well, you could do that anyway. You could just limit one class per team.
Okay. I'm sorry, I just thought it was good. Nippon Ichi recently announced the...
What does that mean?
That's the... What do you mean?
What's Ichi mean?
One.
As in scratchy? It
means one.
So not as in itchy and scratchy.
They're like Japan number one.
Well, yeah, I can see the Japan bit.
But no, Ichi's spelled differently anyway.
Whatever.
So they announced the first 9 months kind of stats of the financial year, and their profit is down 97.5%, which is a hell of a lot.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're not making money.
No, but 97.5%.
Meh. Slow year.
Their games don't make that much money over here, I know that.
Meh, I'd never heard of them.
No, you wouldn't have. Not many of their games even get released over here.
I've heard of Witch's Tale.
Have you?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Wow, one of their games is called Let's Hitchhike. That sounds quite weird.
We could put that on the same category as Endless Ocean. You can dive and then you can hitchhike.
Yeah, so I thought that was quite...
Hey, there's no cars passing
not
underwater.
Too great start of the year. Well, end of the year. I'm not sure which for them. Hopefully it won't cause any trouble at all. But yeah, so that's me done with my news. I can shut up now.
I think it's time for... He's not going to say it. I set you up.
I'm not doing rant of the week. I'm not doing it.
You're not doing it. Is that your rant?
Have I upset you?
I can't be bothered.
You can't be bothered.
Well, I've got nothing to rant about.
Me?
You.
Paul's rant of the week.
Yeah, I come home from work and Catherine's playing BioShock, and it's like bits I've already played, and it's like, I've seen that. I've seen that. Yeah, you have to melt the ice.
I made you a cup of tea.
Okay, I'll let you off. Yeah, I don't have a rant of the week unless somebody can really quickly come up with a topic.
The only thing I could suggest with that BBC stuff, because you thought it was silly, them reporting games on the
news. Oh, yeah, the BBC mentioned BioShock 2. Why? Who cares?
It's not news.
Yeah, it's like...
Unless they ran out of things.
Yeah, obviously it's a slow day, and they were... First they were saying about, the newscaster, who obviously didn't have a fracking clue what she was on. We're just linked to a video of it, because it's really lame.
And then they showed zero punctuation on BBC News as well.
Because, of course, that's a reliable source for why you're running this story. Because if those people who can remember back 2007, zero punctuation did their thing where, you know, they just knocked BioShock. All valid points, of course, but, you know... It's like, why are the BBC turning...
They spoke to a
news?
Guy about BioShock 2 as well, didn't they? I can't remember who he was. Some technology reporter.
Yeah, well, probably like there are other technology reporters who are clueless.
Now, proving that we do care about your opinions, your letters.
We'll follow shortly after this disclaimer. Gamercast does not endorse any opinions and or views expressed in any of the letters we receive. All letters are presented as is and confers no warranty or rights.
Okay, this week we've got a few letters from people. We will kick off with, of course, a letter from...
I thought that was fun.
What'd you say?
I thought who that last one was on the list is quite funny.
The last one on the list?
Yeah, who it's from. Friday's one.
Yeah, I know who that is.
Oh, okay, I don't.
Okay. Well, their IP address resolves to Farnborough, so I've got a pretty good idea of who it is. Anyway, first, because we're going to do the first one first.
Okay, that's cool. I was just saying I found it funny. You can talk.
You just tap me on the shoulder. Does that mean you want to talk?
You talk more.
Well, don't tap me on the shoulder.
I want to talk.
A ping pong bat, and then you turn it around, and one colour's for Paul to speak, and one colour's for you.
Shut up, Adam. Right, let's get on with it. this letter comes from Matt Windsor, a.k.a. Oxlow, a.k.a. What did we used to call him?
Did you call him anything else?
No, I can't remember. I also like the idea, this is what it says, I also like the idea of the name the game segment. This is his guess, but this was for 2 weeks ago, because obviously we had a delay posting it. It sounds familiar, but I just don't know what it is. Yeah, you knew. Also, Adam's review on Assassin's Creed, I will be getting it when I have some pennies to spare. It sounds like Thief to me.
Like
well,
he said.
It's got elements of that.
Yeah, it's got elements of Thief in it, because I just played another mission last night and I had to get in somewhere and I couldn't get in it without stealing an item off someone, so you had to create mass direct misdirection, steal the item and then run for it.
Adam, don't interrupt. he says those games were fantastic. Also, have you heard that BioShock 2 single player is set 10 years after BioShock? Yes, I had heard that, thank you very much. And the multiplayer is set just before BioShock. No, I hadn't heard that, but the multiplayer is going to suck, so I don't really care.
Who doesn't need a multiplayer?
AVP! I am really looking forward to it because BioShock was the only game I can remember actually making me jump.
Why is it Bio with a capital S? Is that how you spell it?
I'm spelling it the proper English language way. So yeah, thank you for that, Mr. Windsor. Moving along, we've got another letter from someone called Charlotte. She says, "Hey guys, love your show. Managed to get around to listening to it this week." Oh, thanks for that high on your list of priorities of things to listen to. Anyway, they go on about. She goes on about Stalker, and says the Zone was a fictional city that the film Stalker was based in. I'm not entirely sure what the connection there is between Stalker film and the game, but there are elements. So I thought I'd just point that about that point.
I thought I'd add that about the point.
Okay. Being the first episode I've listened to with segments, they really work well and are cool. No clue on the name of the game, but I do love the section. Okay, thank you for that. And then we also have the last letter, which comes from God.
God@heaven.com.
This is correcting a piece of misinformation in last week's episode, where we said that that black guy from Gears of War is in Lost Planet 2, when it's like Marcus Fenix and Dom... whatever his name is, Dom something else, the other guy. The second like co-op guy. Him.
I have a feeling it begins with an M.
The other
I think that's who I was on about. I don't think it was the guy who used to be the ex-football player.
I see.
Maybe he's not black. I don't know. It's been a while since I've played the game. I'm too busy looking at the monsters. I don't look at the teammates.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, is that a new one?
And, that Matt Windsor bloke also sends us another little note saying, "I noticed today that Paul now has a gamer score over 10,000. Well done.
Well done, Paul.
Obviously, someone likes refreshing the About Us page a lot, or likes going through his friends list, because he added me the other day.
Who also helped you towards that 10,000?
Catherine did by playing Beautiful Katamari a bit.
There we go. Cool. So that's all the letters for this week.
Letters, of course, can go to...
Feedback@gamercast.net. Okay.
No, I'm having a stroke. Carry on.
Feedback@gamercast.net, or you can post comments on the blog, which is gamercast.net.
Yeah, do the blog thing, because that's better.
Should I just mention those then?
No, you can mention Twitter as well.
Okay, you can leave us any kind of replies or anything on twitter.com/gamercast, and you can also post on the Facebook group.
Gamercast does not endorse or recommend Twitter usage.
Or Facebook.
Nah, Facebook's okay.
Oh, okay.
People can use Facebook. Oh, join the fracking Steam group, people.
No one else joined.
No, there's only two people in the Steam group.
Me.
Even Adam isn't a member of the Steam group.
I haven't gone into Vista in ages. I have to boot into Vista to get to Steam.
Won't your Steam thing work on Mac OS X?
No.
It's time for Name That Game.
Right, so last week... some people may recall the sound was rather easy. We did have a couple of people who guessed right. One of them was, in fact, Adam, who managed to guess right.
I play that game too much.
Sean also was right about it as well.
And I didn't have a clue.
No. So anyway, Adam should now have received this week's...
Yes, I did.
Yep, you did actually accept it. So let's just play... this week's... Oh, wait, let me just tell you what the answer was. It was Modern Warfare 2, of course. Because although Adam said it on last week, people listening might just want official confirmation.
It was the level-up sound.
Yeah, the multiplayer level-up sound.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was Modern Warfare 2. So, this week we've got...
Maybe I don't. I don't know what I think it sounds like.
Right, Adam, have you played it now?
My brain starts thinking that it's a 80s film with, I don't know. Straight away, my brain started saying Beverly Hills Cop 2. I don't know why.
Although I don't normally say... if that's the right or wrong answer, that is the wrong answer, Adam.
I know it's the wrong answer. It's not
have
a video
I played
game.
This game?
I'm not sure if you have or not.
I don't think I've played this game. I don't
it was on a couple of different platforms.
As well as PC.
PC was one of them. That's all the clues you're getting.
Can I tell you what I think it is?
Yeah, if you want us to guess what it is.
Is it Deus Ex?
No.
It's not.
Oh, oops. No comment.
No comment.
But that is the wrong answer.
That's wrong. Oh, it sounds like Deus Ex music. It's the music by Alex Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is then.
All right, well, you'll find out next week, won't you?
I'm so crap at this.
If any of our listeners want to guess what it is, just, you know, feedback at GamerCast on there and say what you think it is, or leave a comment on this week's...
Oh, now I don't get to find out until next
blog
week.
...blog entry.
This kills me.
It's good, isn't it?
It's horrible for me.
Right, let's kick off with the next segment, because it's time for the next segment now, since we finished that one.
Releases this week.
Okay, so this week we've got a couple of big titles coming out.
And a couple of really small titles, but they're still getting mentioned.
Why are they getting mentioned if they're lame?
Well, my thing's not lame.
Excuse me.
What, are you saying my thing's lame?
What is it? Oh, that's coming out, is
You're
it?
You're awesome.
Oh, is that this week?
Yeah, it comes out this week.
Oh, what a shame.
Okay, so first major release coming out, because it really is the major release, is Bioshock 2.
Wait, who?
Bioshock 2.
Bioshock. Who's that made by?
2K Games. Take 2.
Take 2.
Take 2? Take 2.
I never got on with the first one.
Oh, Bioshock. That's that stupid, boring game. Boring. That's the game the BBC mangled in their news story.
As it's been mentioned already quite a lot today, it's set 10 years after the first one, so in the 1970s, which is a bit odd.
And this time the player is a big daddy.
Yep.
Whoop-de-fracking-do.
He's had his organs and skin grafted onto an atmospheric diving suit. And he's the first of his kind. So you've got that's what I'm not sure about, because you've got to relocate a little sister. So that means you're going to have, like, escort... kind of missions all the time throughout it.
God,
so you're gonna have to be saving her from like all this other stuff. I hope not, because like
escort does my nutting, because it's always a really shite AI you're escorting, and they always go and do something stupid.
They'll always go in towards the enemies and then just get killed. It'd be quite cool, if you ask me, if you could do co-op and have someone as a little sister.
Yep. So Bioshock's coming out on PC. It's also a Games to Windows Live title, so you can get GamerScore
on the PC, which is
always
great.
So just make sure you actually sign into Xbox Live to do that, otherwise you'll be halfway through the game and realise, crap, I didn't sign in.
But yeah, so it's also coming out on Xbox 360 and PS3 as well. I'm not sure on...
Primitive consoles.
It's okay, you get to play my copy on the PC.
I want to play AVP.
Well, then get AVP then.
Well, I will.
Okay.
But need to play that's the demo. Next week.
Yeah. Okay, so Bioshock 2 now is one of the major titles. Then we've got...
That's out on Tuesday.
That's actually out on the 9th on Tuesday.
Yeah, to screw everyone's heads up.
Well, it's because they're doing it for the American release as well.
Americans.
Worldwide release.
The crazy worldwide release rubbish. Release it on the Friday so I know when it's coming out.
Okay, so then now releases on the Friday. We've got Flips Percy Jackson.
What's that?
All 5 Percy Jackson books with 2 extra books on the DS.
What's Percy Jackson?
Percy Jackson is a book which has now been turned into a film. The film comes out on the 12th as well, and Flips is a tie-in release, as well as there's also another Percy Jackson game coming out on the DS, which is Percy Jackson the Lightning Thief, which is a game made by Activision, which is like an action-adventure-looking game based on the film.
But I take it that Flips is actually better, yeah? Because it encourages him reading and these other things?
It does, and also it's based on the books, because it is the books...
As opposed to the lame-o film.
The film, if you ask me, looks terrible.
You wrote crappy Activision on the show now.
Crappy Activision title following the film on DS.
How do you know it's crappy?
You should look at it.
It might be fantastic.
Anyway, the film hasn't followed the books, so if the
Maybe
DS
the
game...
Maybe the books suck and the film's awesome.
You think so? Do you want to go see it?
No.
But yeah, so Flips Percy Jackson comes out, which is... awesomeness, and then Percy Jackson the Lightning Thief on DS as well, which is an action-adventure title.
Well, there are a couple of other bigger titles that we could talk about.
I know, I'm talking about the other ones. You got Phantasy Star Zero, which is a new Phantasy Star game coming out on the DS.
That.
It expands the gameplay mechanics of the online games in the series, such as Fantasy Star Online, but it also features an offline story mode as well.
What do you do? I will recommend it because I've already got it. Oh. I got an import copy from the States.
I've been looking forward to it because I love the Fantasy Star games.
Yeah, so, it's good.
I will pick that up at some point. Then you've also got Star Ocean: The Last Hope International, which
PS3
is
PS3 only.
Yeah, which is a PS3 version of the 360 title Star Ocean: The Last Hope. The reason it's got international in the title is generally what they do in Japan, and they'll release an international version which has the English and the Japanese audio, and they've done that over here for the PS3. So people, well, even though it was a 360 exclusive, it's now on both consoles. But you can only get the international version on the PS3.
Star Ocean. Is that any relation to Endless Ocean, where no, I'm a diving hitchhiker?
Nothing to do with it, Paul. You're not a diving hitchhiker.
But I want that SeaQuest guy to pick me up. Hey, Roy. Pick me up, Roy. His name's Roy, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's that guy from Jaws as well. It's Roy sitting over, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, is this right then? Is this
let's watch
out?
Let's watch SeaQuest.
Why?
Because I'm bored of Deep Space Nine. Yeah. SeaQuest is the same thing, only underwater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's good. I like SeaQuest.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's got that newbie kid.
Let's roll it along.
He's even more of a noob than that Wesley Crusher noob.
I can hear my dinner being needed.
Speaking of Will Wheaton, Star Trek Online is out at some point.
If I'm right in fine looking on the internet telling me that it was out on the 12th. I don't know. That's what it told me. But yeah, so it's got the two new species in it. And I also found a breakdown of the monthly charges, which, if you ask me, are quite expensive.
Yeah, it's more expensive than World of Warcraft.
So they tell you first off the months excluding VAT, and then they tell you the VAT ones. So for a month, so for WoW, it costs what? Is it $8.99?
Steam says it was out on the 2nd of February.
Yeah?
So maybe Steam...
But maybe that's only a digital version.
Yeah.
So maybe the box versions are only coming out on the 12th. But yeah, so did you agree? Is it $8.99 a month for WoW?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, for a month of Star Trek Online, it's £10.34. For 3 months, it's £28.95, as opposed to the... Actually, no, when you buy a WoW time card, is that 2 months?
It's 60 days.
Oh, it's 60 days, so 2 months. So you can get 3 months of Star Trek Online for £28.95 or 6 months for £53.06. It's quite expensive, if you ask me.
So, yeah, I mean, people should really try and undercut WoW.
£10 a month.
Because
they're not going to get general MMO people to play. They're only going to get Star Trek fans to play it at that price.
Yeah, because there's not many Star Trek fans.
You've got to say the ballpark figure will go cheaper.
My character's called Will Wheaton.
Oh, you're cute.
Yeah, I think I've got about 5 minutes before my dinner's ready. I can hear it being made in the background.
Yeah, too bad.
Until I put it in the oven.
Okay, so next up, Super Monkey Ball Step and Roll, which is a new Super Monkey Ball title that uses the Wii Balance Board for gameplay.
Cool. That should be good.
Oh, great. Now I can act like a retard trying to play Super Monkey Ball instead
of
just moving the controller.
I need to get another balance board again. Yeah, I do.
Out of stock, sorry.
I can get one from work. Or somewhere. Okay.
What's this half-minute hero thing?
We mentioned that maybe a month ago.
What about Ribbon Hero? Let's talk about that. Never mind, carry on.
Ribbon Hero?
It's an Office 2007-2010 training
game. Half-minute hero, we mentioned it before. Each battle the player encounters, you have 30 seconds to win. So there's different kinds of modes and different perspectives and styles across 120 stages in the game, each one only totaling 30 seconds. It also has 8-bit graphics to try and keep with like...
What do they mean by 8-bit graphics?
As in looking like a...
NES
tile.
So they don't actually mean 8-bit colour?
I wouldn't imagine so, no.
No, it's just... 8-bit console graphics.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's out as well. I wouldn't mind getting my hands on
that. I wish they wouldn't use terms like that, because it's so... dumb.
80s?
Well, it's like when the Game Boy Advance came out and it was 32-bit. What does that even mean? Is that, like, the color depth? Or what architecture the CPU is? It's just a stupid term, and I wish people would stop using it.
Well, people don't use it anymore, do they?
No,
I have people coming in thinking, oh, the PS3 is a 256-bit console. I'm like,
what?
Douchebag, it's a 64-bit processor in there, you noob. Yeah, it's less than the PS2. See, it's a meaningless term, guy. It's meaningless. And as long as it's like not less than like 16-bit, it's fine. Because even 32-bit, you know, for consoles, you've got more than enough address space. Obviously, for a PC, you'd want 64-bit to have the larger address space.
Previews and or reviews.
Okay, hello, so... Catherine. Hello. Anyway, so back on Monday...
Monster Hunter!
On the 1st of February, I think it was, I went to a Monster Hunter Tri event.
Officially representing GamerCast.
Yep, and it was hosted by Nintendo and Capcom as well.
Apparently the Nintendo people don't know who the Capcom people are, and the Capcom people are don't know who the Nintendo people are.
There were lots of Nintendo people there. There was Ian Lee there.
I hope they were all wearing badges.
They weren't. No one was wearing badges. You could just tell the Nintendo people.
Catherine was wearing a badge. Catherine in 8-point text. GamerCast in 22-point text.
All the Nintendo people had Monster Hunter Tri t-shirts on, and of course they didn't give those to the Capcom people. But so there was just there was a few new things mentioned because there was a presentation at the start. So Monster Hunter Tri in Europe has exclusiveness that the Japanese version didn't have. So it's using WeSpeak for when you play online. There's wow. New weapons in it, which were created by the Capcom community, which is quite nice. There should hopefully be some DLC for it, but nothing's confirmed at the moment.
Wait, so they're taking community-made things selling it?
There was a community... No, they're not selling it. They're putting it in the game. There was a community competition.
But they're selling the game?
Yeah, but those people wanted their weapons in the game.
All right.
It was only... Like,
I'm just saying, because people have made expansion packs for PC games, and then dodgy companies have tried to sell them.
Well, no, it's just the fact that they designed weapons, and then they put them in the game. That was all.
All right, carry on then.
Okay.
Put the knife down. We know you try and design weapons, but you're not a weapon designer.
I could be. Anyway, they've also added underwater stages into Monster Hunter Tri, which weren't in the Japanese version, which is quite cool. It works quite nicely as well with the underwater combat, and also the monsters underneath the water are really nice. But as well as finding out stuff about it, I got to play the game as well. It's actually quite nice. I found it quite hard. But I'm not some hardcore Monster Hunter player. It's got the exact same controls as the PSP version, except on a Wii controller. Well, on a Wii Classic controller, which is the controller we were using to play it with. You can play it with the remote and nunchuck, but it would work best with a Classic controller anyway, because it's that kind of game. But yeah, I thought it was really cool. I played I've played four player online. You can also do up to four player offline. But then you play that in an arena, whereas you get like weapons and stuff from it, which you can then use in the single player mode or the online mode. Everything like works with each other, but you can't ever do main missions with people on your console, if that makes sense. So you can only share missions with other people if it's online, and they haven't actually announced yet if they are actually going to do a subscription, because in Japan you have to pay to play online, to play Monster Hunter Online.
I imagine they would pay for that sort of thing because they do like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's super popular in Japan. They're hoping to scrap the subscription charges, I think, but nothing's been confirmed about it yet. Which is a shame. But, like, that's how it is. I've also got a couple of Monster Hunter posters, which I'll give away sometime next week, maybe. Got loads of stuff to give away. But I would recommend Monster Hunter Tri. It's not coming out till, I think, April time, maybe. But it's actually quite a nice Wii title. It looks really nice as well. So yeah, that's kind of like a review / preview.
It's more of a preview, really.
Yeah, actually it's a preview because it's not out yet, isn't it? I did play it for quite a while, though. I kept dying.
That's good. You got a good go on it, then.
Yeah, because like we had from about 12 o'clock until 5 o'clock to play it, if we wanted to. So as well as doing a few things, like there was photos, and I got my Wii signed... and a poster signed as well, but I'm not going to give that one away because I'm keeping that for myself. But yeah, so we had like the whole day to play it. They had one big setup of the online one in the middle with like, I think, 32-inch TVs, and they were in like a little circle, which was really nice because then, of course, you could just shout to the people you were near to say, you know, oh, set that trap, blah, yeah. blah, 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 blah. And then they had just about maybe 10 rows of computers with single player on and two player arena mode. So it was a good chance to get a good go of the game. And I thought it was quite good.
Cool.
So I'll be picking that up when it comes out.
I'm tempted by the PSP version.
PSP version's good. But I like big screen games.
Yeah, it felt like something I'd want to play on a bigger screen.
But yeah, so you're actually talking about another Capcom game now?
Yeah, I'll jump in with that one. I started having a nosy around on the PSN store, and I just looked in the beat-em-up section, and it was there screaming at me, and I just kept looking up Marvel vs. Capcom 2 going, I was going to buy you a while ago. Because I went to buy it, put the money aside, and it said, you don't have enough Microsoft points. And I'm like, I don't have enough Microsoft points. Where the hell is my Microsoft points gone? And then I found out that I'd accidentally bought... what was that one that I bought? I can't remember. The first-person shooter that was World War II, one that was out on the Xbox Arcade.
Battlefield.
While ago, I did Battlefield. I accidentally bought Battlefield with the money that I'd saved up for Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
I love that you actually accidentally purchased a title.
Yeah, because I clicked the top button is to buy it, not the trap, and I accidentally hit the button too many times and did it. side note, I have found out that if you do not have a gold account and you sign up for silver and you put your credit card details in to buy online stuff, it is possible to turn on the console and hit A 3 times and you end up buying a year's subscription to gold. Because a guy's found this out and posted on the internet because his son knows how to turn on the Xbox. He is only around about 5 and all he can do is push the A button and he thinks he's playing and he just plays along with his dad and all of a sudden he gets his email saying he's just been charged £49.99 and he's like, what the hell?
Adam, so he rings what's up this the wife, got to do with goes, the game?
It's a side note. And he goes, what the hell's going
accidental
on?
Accidental button pressing.
And he goes, oh yeah, I got... She goes, oh yeah, I got woken up at 8 a.m. this morning by your son playing on Xbox. And he was like, oh, damn it. So he went and had a look and found out that if you're on silver, literally the first bit the blade comes up to, if you hit A 3 times, you will go through the whole process to actually purchase Xbox Live.
Right, a couple of tips. One, don't put your fracking debit or credit card into Xbox Live. You know, buy the points retail and stuff like that. Two, put parental controls on if you've got kids who like bashing buttons.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. So anyway, Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Downloaded that. Really good. Absolute classic from the... it wasn't Saturn, it was Dreamcast. Yeah. It's similar port across. It's been but HD, but they've got this whole kind of two different effects you can have on it that kind of either sharpen it up or kind of blur it in to get what your eyes feel nice to where the graphics look for the upscale. You can shove it back into classic mode, which gets rid of the stretch. It doesn't stretch the characters, but they stretch out the background so that it fits widescreen. There are set characters that have abilities that allow them to run up the screen. Unfortunately, that means that they're running up in thin air and across and down onto someone. So it looks a bit weird. The maneuvers still work, the mechanics still work, but some powers don't work with the whole stretch of everything. I mean, something, the one that does work is Spider-Man does actually stick to the wall of your screen instead of thin air, which is quite good because he's one of my favorite characters. But a few of them do run up thin air. Bar that, everything works great. They did. I don't know what they are, but some fans have said that some bugs that were in the original game, which are fun bugs and need to be left in, were kindly left in for this release. But bar that, is classic Marvel vs. Capcom. If you've not seen it or played it, it's worth giving a go. There are two demos on PlayStation Network, the original demo and the new demo, which is exactly the same, but it's the clone of what was on Xbox, where you download it, you play it, and if you like it, you get this extra little bit of a download that you pay for, and it upgrades it to a full game, so you don't have to download another version, because obviously PSN Network doesn't have many demos of arcadey style games. But yeah, definitely give it a go. For a beat-em-up, it's one of my top favorite Capcom beat-em-ups. I don't know if I should give it a number. It's definitely a 4 out of 5 for a beat-em-up. It is classic.
Yep, okay.
I always found it too hard.
Meh.
It is hard. It is a hard game. I'm still playing it on easy.
I couldn't even do it on easy. I suck that much.
Haven't played it.
Oh, you probably never will.
Don't really care about it.
You don't like beat 'em ups.
It gets a meh out of meh from me.
Okay, so next up, we have both, me and Paul, have been playing Dante's Inferno recently.
Have I? Well, I haven't played it for a week.
You've beaten me.
Yeah, that's because I am. I rule as.
Sorry, can you drag that to the side so I can see?
Which side? This side?
Yeah, that side.
This side?
That side. That's it. Thank you, Paul. So yeah, the game's quite nice. Where is it? Okay, I got confused between my two bits. If you ask me, Dante's Inferno has a bit of an iffy start to it. Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, I thought the start was fine.
Yeah, even that boss, where you're not sure if you're supposed to kill him or not.
Me.
You only knew that because I had killed him.
Me, like any other sane person, assumes that you have to kill a boss.
Yeah, but you get games where you don't have to kill the thing at the start, and you then die. Because that's the thing.
Yeah, but I'll put up a fight.
But the reason why you can't be too sure is the fact that you're Dante, even. You're going to hell. So it could be the fact that you either kill him and then get to hell, or he kills you and you get sent to hell.
Whatever, there's a guy there.
Which is why I was a bit confused about it.
I'm pressing my buttons to kill him.
Okay, Paul, okay. Okay. I thought it was a bit iffy. I think the kind of combos are quite nice, and then the buying structure. But then you always get that in a hack and slash. But I think it's got nice, fast reactions to the button presses as well.
Meh.
Did you have any problems with that?
No.
It's quite a generic hack and slash, though. Would you agree with that?
Not much, like, configuration and things of weapons.
No, it's just two buttons.
You have your fancy sword. Well, you have your sword, which you start off with, and then you get your weird
scythe.
Spoiler. You just gave away the first boss now.
He's got it on the cover.
Shh. You're giving away the cover now.
He's got his scythe on the cover.
Yeah, spoiler.
Okay, sorry, spoilers. Actually, we didn't even do that. I suppose there was no spoilers for Monsanto. Did we miss out? Oh, no, I put it at the bottom. Sorry. Okay, so spoilers. He has his scythe, which you press the X button to attack with. You press the B button to use his cross.
Okay, so he's got a ranged attack, which has, like, magic crosses.
He's got his sword, and he's got his gun. What? It's pretty much a gun.
Ranged?
It's the equivalent of Dante's gun. Dante's.
He has a ranged attack, you press B. He has a quick, light attack, you press X. He has a heavy attack, you press Y.
Oh, yeah.
And then A, he jumps around like a loony.
Yes. He's also got... Do you get magic? Am I thinking of another game right now?
I don't know. I just, like, hit X and Y.
There's magic as well, I think.
Yeah, probably, but I just
you
hit...
You press a bumper, I think.
Yeah, I haven't bothered with that.
But yeah.
I've not had any trouble from combat. It seems well easy to me.
What mode did you play on? Normal?
Easy.
You play on easy? Okay, well, to admit it, I actually started on normal mode and got totally stuck because I was at one point where I had literally no health left and there was no health points and I could not get past all the things that I had to kill to get to the next health point, so I had to quit and start again as easy. I was a bit disappointed that I had to do that. But I also did notice there was a huge spike in... So the first... kind of big enemy that you attack in the game on easy mode, he's easy, no problems at all. On normal mode, I had problems. He was quite hard. That's why I wasn't entirely sure on if I was supposed to kill him or not, because his health hardly went down whenever you hit him. But also the fact then that he should have been made easier on normal mode because it's the start of the game. You don't want to have it like super difficult at the start of a game, because otherwise someone's going to die. I just give up.
Yeah, so anyway, the bosses seem quite interesting.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten to that boss that you've killed. The first one.
There's quite a bit of variation among the bosses. All the fights are a bit different. Because it's not just going up to them and, you know...
You're just pressing the buttons again.
And button mashing. Like, when you get their health low, it flashes up on the screen particular buttons you have to press.
QTE.
Which I thought was annoying, but better than just me hammering buttons and killing everything inside. So, yeah.
It's an interesting take on hell, if you ask me.
Yeah, obviously it's not Doom 3, which is the real version of hell in Doom 3, unlike this fake version. Fake.
The only other point I have about it as well, I give a score afterwards, don't I? it doesn't hugely follow the poem. The only thing that does is it Virgil? Is that how you say his name? Virgil?
I just call him the magic ghosty looking guy.
Your ghost friend, dude, whatever, Virgil, he's the only one that actually recites from the poems. But also, the story, the whole story itself of the game does not follow that closely to the poem. But it's nice. Because the thing is, things don't always have to follow things absolutely 100% close to them anyway. Although if they're really bad, then, you know, that causes problems. I haven't read Dante, or the Divine Comedy anyway. But anyways, score, I would give it 7 out of 10.
I'd give it 4 out of 5, because on Game Recounts we do things out of 5.
Oh, damn it, sorry. I'd give it 4. I wouldn't give it a 3. I think it's better than a 3, but it's not a 5.
No, hell no, it's not a 5. Although co-op would be quite interesting when that turns up.
Yeah, actually, on the 29th of April, they are also introducing some DLC. I'm not sure if it's paid for or free, though. It doesn't actually say. But it includes co-op, which I'm not really sure how that works, to be honest. Because there's only one Dante.
There's Dante 2. Dante 2. He's back. Even though he's still here, anyway.
He plays Virgil. Or Beatrice. Or Lucifer or something.
Yeah, it's co-op, but you actually fight against each other, so it's really deathmatch.
They're introducing a co-op and also a level editor, which I think is quite weird because, of course, you don't get much of that on the 360 or PS3, do you?
That's a bit weird.
And it looked quite weird as well because you're doing enemy placements and everything like that, so you're trying to kill your friends. So make your worst level possible that they can't survive. So it should be cool, especially if they give it away for free, I reckon.
Yeah, that'll help with playability.
It might be a paid-for thing. But yeah, so the replayability, because the thing is, once you've gone all the way through hell, save Beatrice or whatever, that's going to be it. You just put it down and probably not play it again. But if you have the co-op, then hopefully lots of people will create levels and you can download those and play them. Like a Little Big Planet, but not on a fun aspect, more of on a I'm going to try and kill you aspect.
That's cool.
But so... That's Dante's Inferno. It's quite good. I do recommend people picking it up. Not
a 40 quid game, but
I was gonna say it's
30 quid is quite reasonable, I think. If you like your hack and slash with good atmosphere and relatively good gameplay.
It's got nice sound.
Yeah, sounds quite good as well.
The sound, the kind of noises in the background and the overall music's quite nice. So next up, we're still talking about Dante's Inferno.
Oh.
Or Dante's Inferno even. I keep saying it wrong.
Who cares?
I
just call him Dante.
Dante.
Hey, Dante, how's it going?
On you're not related to Danny, second, are you? Oh, you are. Was the second Tuesday? On the 2nd of... Yeah, on the 2nd of February. We being me and Paul and Charlotte and Tim came along too, all popped along to a Dante's Inferno animation preview.
Premiere, even.
So we were representing Gamecast, I suppose. You could play the game, but we'd already played it by then. But we got to see the whole of the animation, which was about an hour and a half long.
Slower than that.
Sorry, can you pull that to the side?
I'm watching my Halo
stuff. I know you are. Okay, so I've got a few things to mention about the animation itself. The animation quality was not what I expected. It was okay, but I expected it to be a lot higher.
Didn't see any problem with it. Granted, it wasn't amazing, but then it's obviously not going to be... It's not going to have a very big budget.
Well, no, that's the thing. So it didn't have a big budget. But, like, with Film Roman making The Simpsons, Simpsons animation quality is quite nice. Well, so the animation quality wasn't as good as I expected, but it was still watchable. It was an enjoyable, like, compressed version of the story. It was a massive spoiler for the game, because me and Paul hadn't finished it, and now we know how the game finishes from watching it.
Well, that's a bit rubbish.
Yeah, because that's one thing I hadn't thought of, that it would spoil the whole thing.
Well, I thought that, but I was like, well, everyone surely knows how it will finish anyway. You kill a few more bosses, and then you kill the last boss.
It'd be nice if he died at the end.
Meh. Who cares?
I suppose if you've read the books, you probably kind of got an idea of what's going to happen.
That's true. And then... So they had different directors or producers on segments of the animation itself, like I mentioned before, but not as much as I thought. So every maybe two circles of hell, it changed to a new kind of animation character look.
Okay.
The only thing was that Charlotte said, and I kind of agree with her, the kind of like the mood and portrayal of the characters changed extremely rapidly throughout the animation. So, like, it's all right when you've got Gotham Knight, Animatrix, Halo Legends, because each story is separate. But this was one story from the beginning to the end, and with totally different personalities on the characters through each circle.
It felt fractured.
Yeah, it was a bit fractured. But it was nice, and it was enjoyable.
Okay.
I won't rate it because it's a film and we're GamerCast.
Yeah.
Or it's an animation, even. Okay, so next up, then...
Halo Legends!
Yeah, on the 3rd, so the day after, we got to go to a Halo Legends premiere as well.
Yeah, by this time, I was flipping knackered.
Hey!
But did you like it, Paul?
You didn't do a game jam over the weekend, followed by a Monster Hunter event, then a Dante's Inferno event, and then a Halo Legends event.
I had to work the weekend.
I know. Yeah, but how many hours sleep do you have? More than 6?
I need 12 hours sleep minimum per day.
Okay. Okay, you can... We're Halo Legends now, okay?
Yeah, Halo Legends was a thing with some Halo-related stuff in it. It was fun.
Is that what
you liked it?
Is that what you're saying?
Well, it was, what, 7 or 8 different parts?
There was 8, including the 2-parter.
Okay.
As separate stories.
Okay, so the 8 parts, all done by different people.
Because we went into this in depth last time, didn't we?
Yeah, we talked about it before.
Just quickly, because I'm tired
and I want to stop recording.
And yeah, I've got a headache, and it's too hot in here, and I want to play some AVP. Yeah, so some of them were good, some of them weren't. First 2 bits, Origins, brilliant. The next bit was just called the Duel, which had like some elites or some brute and an elite like having a squabble, and that was shite.
Charlotte liked it.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, but you're looking at it from a Halo perspective. She's looking at it from an animation and film perspective.
I don't care what the animation is like. It's a storyline which is important.
I know.
And the storyline was lame.
Yeah, but you're going through it from a Halo perspective, aren't you? You read the books. Charlotte hasn't read the books.
Lame. It reminded me of what would happen if Japan made Halo, and it was not a pretty picture.
You said that so many times when we've talked about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so obvious, like, wow. But there were a few good ones. There was one called The Odd One Out, which was really funny. In fact, the second we finish recording, I'm going to put it on.
Okay.
And then it
followed kind of Dragon Ball Z style. I think it was by a Dragon Ball Z person.
Yeah.
Akira Toriyama, if that's
Minami, but that's sort of our stuff.
But also the kind of comedic value.
But it basically had a really sort of a clumsy Spartan in it called 1337.
Yeah. I said that to some people. I don't think they got what it was.
Was Lee, are these people noobs?
I don't know.
Are they nabs or knobs or noobs or nooblets or giblets or Jesus-worshipping sandal-wearing people?
Oh, God. Okay. Let's move along.
I'm going to jib you, you nab kid.
So are you going to talk any more about the other ones? Do you remember the names of them?
No, I don't remember the names. Last one was all right. It wasn't fantastic, but it was all... The last one was computer-generated.
That was by the guys that did Appleseed.
As in the
newer Appleseed.
The new Appleseed, yeah, not CG.
Yeah, not the original one. But it looked nice.
Yeah, that was all right. But like I said, Origins and the Odd One Out were the best ones. Odd One Out.
Okay. I think...
The Spartan fell out of a pelican.
I think...
By accident.
Everyone that watched it, I heard a few people's responses saying they didn't really like at all Halo Legends. But their favourite one was the Odd One Out.
It's funny.
Go on.
I have a couple of things to say. So, I think The Odd One Out was nice and humorous because with the Animatrix, you didn't really get anything that was, like, funny. They were quite serious, even though they had their different... Paul, can you move that to the side or pause it so I can see my things? You can watch it afterwards.
I want
to
watch it now.
No. Okay. The animation quality was a lot better, I felt.
Nooblets.
Even though I heard some other people saying it was really crap, but I thought it was all right. Especially on the later ones, the animation got a lot nicer. But then it was nice on all of them. The Halo music is good. There was lots of Halo music throughout the whole chapters of it.
Good. Halo music is fantastic.
You can have too much Halo music.
Oh, no, you can't. I can listen to the soundtrack all day.
Origins Part 1 and 2, too much Halo music.
No, brilliant.
It's like every second there was a tiny bit of silence, played a new track.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
So,
Halo music is good, and it wasn't like the stupid lame-o music that, like, in Halo 2 they got third-party people to do just for the names. It was the good stuff. Okay.
What did you say, sorry, Adam?
When's it out?
I'm going to mention that.
It's out on YouTube now.
Okay, I was just going to say as well, I liked it as well. It's not as good as the Animatrix in my eyes. And Matrix had a huger production value, though. And I liked that it had a lot of variation in it. Although they did seem quite similar, the ones near the end. Okay, so Dante's Inferno animation. I was aware, well, I thought it was coming out tomorrow. But I looked on the internets, interwebs. And apparently it came out on the 5th.
Intertubes.
Okay.
So Dante's Inferno is already out. Halo Legends comes out on the 15th of Feb. They're both having DVD and Blu-ray releases. The Halo Legends one also has a steelbook coming out as well. I'm not sure what extras they've put on them, but I'm sure they've put some stuff on there. Probably like, because like at the start of Halo Legends, there was a Halo Reach trailer.
Well, I can hear my food being served.
That's cool. That's pretty much it.
Heavy Rain demo.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you guys get to play it?
I've played it. Paul hasn't because he's been at work. Do you want to say your comments and then I'll say my comments?
Yeah, basically, I think, like we discussed before, we were a bit worried it was going to give too much away from a story that you want. It's about the story, nothing else, really. I felt that it showed enough that you get the gist of it without ruining anything. I felt like any of the three parts you got, the first two were connected, but the third one, I felt like they... You know, we might be missing something, which is nice because it didn't feel like it was ruining anything.
Yeah, because it was kind of he was a bit mysterious.
Yeah,
because you didn't know anything about him.
Yeah, you really didn't know what was going on.
His name is Grimlock. He comes from the land down under.
I like the fact that it showed you got the tutorial at the beginning, which kind of gives you an aspect of what the buttons do. Then the next two levels kind of give two different aspects. One of being able to communicate with people and talking and the different ways you use your body language, where you stand in the room, the questions you ask for the responses you get. And then you get a bit of action with the button timing to get into a bit of a scrap with someone.
Mm.
And then using the FBI guy and actually using the glasses and the hand gesture for scanning for things and going through the evidence and having to do the different things to climb up a muddy hillside and stuff and using the thought process and stuff like that. And when it got to the end, I was like, oh my God, that was the end. And then I thought to myself, actually, that's nice. It's enough to get me the juices flowing to want to play the game. And that's what you want in a demo. Show people what it's like, get the juices flowing. I want to go out and buy it now.
Did you watch the trailer?
Yeah.
You did? Okay. I just quit then because I was like, I'm not watching a trailer. I've refused to watch all trailers in case they spoil anything.
It just flashed through and kind of gave a gist of what the game's about. But yeah, it was kind of like some of the other trailers. If you really don't want it to ruin anything, I'd definitely recommend maybe not watching the trailer because I kind of my brain started kicking and trying to work stuff out, and I probably am wrong. But
don't be mean, Paul.
Yeah, the cobwebs fell off and he went, ooh! But, I definitely did like it. Graphically, it looked absolutely amazing. I think this is probably going to be the first thing that's ever been created that is close to an interactive movie.
Great. From the feel. Just what we needed to get more interactive movies.
And it felt like you had a real part to play in it. I liked the whole control system. I did find it a bit weird with the fact that you have a button for walking and I didn't push forwards on the stick, so every time I turned it was really jerky. But I found that if you push forward with the stick as well and hit walk, because you can slide the stick left and right, you get a nice analog feel, so you can walk smoothly if you have to turn left and right. But yeah, control wise it put some skill into it, but it's not a skillful game, it's more of a thinking game. So I like the way they made a compromise that someone who's not a gamer could pick this up and go through the whole entire thing and not have to worry about their skills with the controller, only memorizing which buttons are what.
Fun.
Okay, so when you played it, did you change the difficulty then?
I think it was on hard when I played.
Yeah, by default it's on hard. Did you leave it as hard?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So my thing's to say, I agree that I thought it was quite odd with the holding the R2 button to run. Or to walk, even. So you have to hold down R2 to be able to walk. Yeah, Paul?
Yeah.
So you can't just move an analog stick. So he's like a car. You've got to pull on his accelerator to make him move.
That's ridiculous.
There is another game I have played that has used that control method, but I can't think of what the hell it is. I think it's some survival horror game. But something I've played before,
obviously,
I had
they're
the
trying
balls.
To make people lose by goofing about and having stupid controls.
No. It's not about, you can't really lose at it.
What if we want to do deathmatch in it?
There's no
deathmatch. And I'm trying to work out how to go forward.
No deathmatch.
I'm going to get shot in the back.
None of that.
Okay, so I loved the rain in it. Of course, with the title Heavy Rain, you'd expect rain. And
I wouldn't. I'd expect
nice
a tropical
with,
beach
with
and
the
lots
whole,
of sunshine.
With telling the day and the time and everything, and then the rainfall. I thought that was nice.
Yeah, that was nice
so you
touch.
Can. I'd imagine the rain progresses as it gets the something gets heightened throughout the game. I can't think of the term. So, like, because of course the fact that in film rain usually signifies something not so good will be going on at the time.
Yeah.
I'd like to know if they've got like storms in it as well, or if it's just rain. One thing I'd like to know, I couldn't really recognize it while playing it, is if the characters get wetter as they're in the rain for longer. I don't think they do.
No, but I did notice that when the FBI agent falls over, he ends up being
covered
in mud. Covered
in mud. Can you move that to the side, Paul? Sorry. You cover my thing all the time. I did quite like that with the FBI guy walking up the side, because at one point I just made him fall over all the time, and I think he got muddier. So that was quite nice.
I think he does, because I couldn't get down the slope without falling on my ass.
And then
I could get the timing right.
Really? I thought it was quite easy.
I got it at first, but I always missed the last two steps and then I fall on my ass.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
And it was quite nice as well, because when you use his Ari thing and you make his glove highlight all the area around him or whatever, because then that lights him up so you can see how muddy he is then. Because there's not that much light in that level, of course.
I quite like that as a way for the character to interact with the evidence. And I was paying attention to the icons that were coming up, and it kept highlighting a particular icon when you were looking at stuff, and it was signifying that the items you were looking at were being logged for further reference later on in the game. So it kind of gives you a sense of everything you look at, you will have to revisit it in your own time later on. So it really gives you a good, you know, you start getting your nose to the ground and starting to look around and looking for everything. I found myself going off into corners and there wasn't much else to look at. It was kind of like go to the main crime scene and work your way out. But I started looking in every single corner, looking at stuff. And there is stuff to find that is not relevant.
Like a dead cat. Not,
and
footprints of other people. And
It is good in that aspect, and I think it's going to make it. It's a bit weird, but I think it is nice because you still get the darkness while still being able to find things on the floor. The only other way I think you would have been able to have achieved it would be trying to make someone do that with a flashlight, and I think that would have been
it would have been too much.
Yeah, you'd have to put it into a first person aspect on a hold of a button just to point a flashlight at something. So I kind of like that. And the whole gestures of you get the right thumbstick and you have to perform a gesture for him to bend down and pick something up or move something to the side, take something out of his pocket. Because like when you're playing the detective, you have to do a sideways and then roll down to the bottom gesture for him to pull his inhaler out of his jacket pocket. And then you have to shake gesture to make him take a bit of his inhaler for his asthma. So it makes you feel like you are part of the movie while it's still being a very long cutscene. I definitely impressed with the demo.
I don't know if you did, but I played it through twice to try and see if I could notice any differences. So I noticed a lot of difference from the fight. I didn't notice so much. Well, actually, no, I did with the other thing as well. So, like, also, when I spoke as Scott Shelby to the lady, Lauren Winters, first time, she didn't tell me anything. She asked me to bugger off. Second time, I managed to convince her to tell me stuff. Not that she had to tell me anything useful, but I thought that was nice.
Were you talking to her back, or did you go face her?
I think she was always sat down.
Yeah, because I found different ways that when you're talking to her, you can actually lean over her, holding on the
rail of the bed.
Yeah, or you can actually go and stand in front of her and lean up against something.
And so, like, the first time I paid her the money, because I think she said it was $50 for 10 minutes or something like that. So yeah. I put the money on a table. Second time, I'd walked past where you pay the money and then by mistake walked forwards towards her bed and couldn't pay the money, but that didn't actually make a difference. And then when I played as the FBI guy, the first time, I had been looking around for so long, Detective Blake, or whatever his name was, he decided to leave and told me he was leaving and asked if I wanted to join him. I said no then. And then second time around I played it, I finished way before he had, and all I could do was go up to him and say, hey, I'm leaving. And that was it. Also, I found more evidence to do with the case second time round than I did first time round. So I was able to check the dead guy twice on one of the things.
Okay.
Whereas the first time I only checked it once, and he said he'd finished. But I thought it was cool.
It's definitely interesting the way that it goes. I imagine because that was just, you were playing just two events, and I don't think those events follow on from each other. They may do, but we might have just played the first three sections of the
game. They did happen around the same time, though.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is all of those events probably pass on information that's different from the last time you played it. Mm. So that event, you played the events and you got similar information, but the game was slightly different each time. I imagine those events get passed on to the next section and determine how that's going to play out slightly different. So I'm kind of curious to play through and see if events will affect the next section of how it is, or if it's like a different character, a different location. It will just be at this certain point that it starts and then you determine how it flows, or whether the last section will determine how the next section starts, and which will make it more organic. I'm very curious to see how it is, and I must admit it's going to be a very much replayable game, and trying to ignore what you did last time just to see how it plays out a bit differently.
I try to do that, trying to think, oh darn, which one did I press last time? I don't want to press that one first this time. I want to leave that one out, and all that kind of stuff. I did also, first time I played it on, I think it was either easy mode or normal mode, and then second time around I played it on hard, and the only differences I noticed was you've got less time to press a button in hard mode, and also the right analog stick kind of gestures, or whatever you'd call them, they seemed a bit more picky on hard mode.
Yeah.
So the ones when you're holding it from the middle and you pull it to the left, no, to the right, and then pull it
and
down.
And swoop. Yeah,
and then
swoop down.
In easy mode, it always picked it up. On hard mode, it was really picky a few times and didn't count it as an actual movement.
I think you have to get the gestures just right.
One last comment that Charlotte agrees with. I think it's quite nice when you go up to someone, how the ideas you can mention to them, the subjects you can talk about, swirl around.
Yeah,
they go around the character.
Another point I'd like to add in, I like the fact that if you hold down L2, you get their thoughts coming around, and you just pick the thoughts out of the air and you listen to their thoughts, and it helps. Obviously, will help the investigation that character is talking to you in their head.
I kept forgetting to do that because I did it the first time.
Yeah, I'm sure there's loads that you'll miss.
And then I kept forgetting on my second playthrough to press it when he was doing the investigation and stuff.
Yeah.
So basically what you two are saying is you're looking forward to Heavy Rain.
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to it.
Definitely. I'm definitely glad that I booked the day off for it.
I give the demo...
We don't really review demos, but go on then.
I would say...
I'd say almost five.
At it as a game. Yeah,
There's no such thing as almost
game.
Five. It's a 4 or a 5.
How about a 4.5?
No, you might as well rate it out of 10.
Okay, I'm sorry. I say I give it a 5.
No, you're not.
Out of 5, as a demo, and the way that it's constructed...
I'd give it a 2.
It's a lovely demo. On the main menu, you press start, and it goes straight in from that menu.
Yeah, 5 out of 5.
So the car rolls in. It's really lovely.
For construction of a demo, on the fact that it's not ruining the game, it's just showing you what the game's going to be like in different aspects, and it's set up really nice. It's not like, oh, play for ages, here's 5 minutes, play this level. It just shows you the full aspect so you know exactly what you're going to get into when you purchase this game. And I think it hits the nail on the head of a selling point.
AVP, so as a demo, hello, Alien vs. Predator.
I still have yet to play it.
That's because you're on PS3.
I look forward
if you
to
downloaded
Heavy Rain
it,
more than I look forward to
If
AVP.
You downloaded it on your Xbox, you would be able to play it, because there's actually people online on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm going to have to go because my dinner is ready.
So,
And I'm going to watch Halo Legends.
We like Heavy Rain. We're looking forward to it. Paul's not looking forward to it. Paul's looking forward to AVP. And that's pretty much the end of the show. Yeah?
Yes.
do we want to do the feedback stuff? But I mean, we already did it.
Gamercast.net, feedback at gamercast.net, twitter.com/gamercast, Facebook group on the website, Steam group on the website, blah, 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 etc. You know the score by now, people.
Don't forget to leave your comments so we can have letters to talk about.
Yeah, and other than that, we'll be back next week.
Yes.
We'll see you next week.
Hopefully with stuff to give away.
Cool.
Bye-bye.
Later.